You're listening to Get Fed Today, one podcast designed to provide the Christian a hearty Bible study 5 days a week. While our mission is to showcase a variety of different Bible teachers, if you want to access more content from a particular pastor, simply listen to the end of the episode for additional information. On behalf of the entire team at Get Fed Today, it is our prayer that today's episode encourages your growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
We're just thrilled to know that we have been chosen by you. We have been redeemed. We have been forgiven. We have been washed. Your grace, Father, has overwhelmed us. You have conquered our darkness, and you have entered the crevices of our evil heart, and you have conquered and made it clean. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you asking you, Lord, that you are the Prince of Peace, the God of all peace, that peace come upon our hearts, minds, and lives. We ask you, Father, that you may speak to us as we're gathered here collectively, corporately, worshiping you, thanking you, expressing our desires of our heart, for you see the heart and you know the condition of the heart, and you know what lacks and you know what we need, Father, and we know what we're looking for. Father, you are our aspiration. Father, you are our inspiration. And so, Father, may you fulfill your word. May you speak to each and every one of us as we pray for the person to our left, to our right, in front or behind us, and even over us, as we pray for our families, our homes, our marriages, our children, and their children. Be with us, Father, as we ask you to protect and bless this nation of ours. And we pray for every American around the world, Father, that your grace will be upon them. We pray, Father, for the peace in the Middle East, and we ask you to speak to us that we may be very acutely aware of what's going around the world, Father. As we see already the stage in the Middle East, Father, all these things are happening, Father. And for those of us who know your word, we anticipate that those things have already been said by your word. So speak to us about getting ready, being prepared. We love you. We thank you. We honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Turn around to the person next to you, would you please? Right on. Good morning again. I want to thank Artie Dyson and band for being here today. I've known Artie for over 30 years, I think. Maybe, 32 years. And he's still playing. God bless him. And I want to just give a shout out to our parking lot controllers. It's just too much. It's just very hot, very grimy, and they're there trying to negotiate. And now, so thank you for not cussing them out, for not giving them certain hand signals. Thank you for your tolerance. It is what it is. We have to innovate, and we have to adapt and overcome. And it is what it is. And I thank those in the overflow. The Lord bless you. Thank God for air conditioning next door. And for the people next door, there's no air conditioning, but you like it. So praise the Lord. You're there by choice. And those that are watching over the internet, thank you for tuning in. Before we begin, another shout out. You know, some CCMers, they're crazy, man. We CCMers, you need to know, some CCMers, when they hear something going on, they don't wait for us to send them. They go on their own. And so there's a group of people, if I may, Luisa, I think there's a clip here. There are fires up in northern San Francisco. There's around 60,000 acres being burned, and around 63,000 homes in danger. They already lost like 20 homes. So some Montebello guys and the Lomenzo family, they just got on and went to Samaritan's Purse, and they were able to do whatever they could with the little resources they have. They went and made a contribution. And I just want to give a shout out, because it's just, these are the people that, you know, they're just, I mean, that's what it's all about serving. Because you see, we are the hands of Jesus. We are the feet of Jesus. The world does never read the Bible. And the Bible says that we are walking letters. And so the world hears about Christians, and the media talks trash about Christians. The movies speak trash about Christians. And when people see us as Christians, we are the feet and the hands of Jesus. So when you go out, they may never read the Bible, but they read you. I hope they're reading the right things when they see you, because we are the feet of Jesus. We are the hands of Jesus. They may hear things about Christianity, and they say Christianity sucks, Christianity is this. But when they see you, you know, when we do good works in the name of Jesus, we broadcast that Jesus, our God, is alive. And we are here to serve. We are not here to kill. We are not here to maim. We're not here to judge. We're Christians. And Jesus said that the world will know us by our what? Our love. And our love is manifested as we help others, those that are hurting. And so I thank God for people like that. I hope all of us will be infected when these people come back. I hope they're infected. We have people in Haiti. We have people in Japan. We have people in Mexico. And people go here every week. They go out to, we have our own facility. The houses very comfortably, gender separated. We have a facility in Rosarito Beach. And we can hold around maybe around 80 to 100 people comfortably. With gender dormitories, gender showers and flushing toilets, very secure, and it's a wonderful building. And if you've never been there, I encourage you to get involved, shoot on down. You do need a passport, though, okay? And if you came over here without one, then I don't go, because you may not come back. So it is what it is in our community, you know what I mean? And so... also, one more thing, for those of us that went to the men's retreat, we're going to have kind of like a post-men's retreat. It's just worship night, worship morning, November the 21st. And what's going to be unique is that we've never had a breakfast like this. It's called tamale pan dulce. All we get is tamales and pan dulce. And we're going to have Chris Lissad doing the same songs of the retreat. So we ask you, if you have your shirts, bring them with us, just as a sign of unity. As you see in a moment here, after a victory against the enemies of Israel, all of Israel met in Gilgal to celebrate the victory and to worship God. And that's what we want to do. Getting ready to close this year, and Lord willing, to get prepared for 2017. Like me, I always hope that I'm not the same in the following year. I hope that next year I am not like today. I hope that I become a better man, a better husband, a better Christian. 2017. It's about progress. It's about progress that we cannot stand still and same old, you're still mad, you're still angry, you still have your disposition, you still have an attitude, you still have a short fuse, you still don't believe certain things, and then we start 2016 with the same old, and then if you ride that wave, 2017, same old, and by the time you get 55, 60 years old, you same old. And then you go to Rose Hills, same old. So... that's that. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. And I apologize if wearing shorts offend you, but it is hot. This is Calvary Chapel. Forgive me. I wasn't going to wear a suit at time. No way. It's hot. So, 1 Samuel chapter 12. A little recap, if I may. Just for those that are visiting and those of you that like me, have a short memory due to drugs. So, I'll remind you. A recap. Saul, the prophet, he is a priest, he is a prophet, he's a judge. He has three offices. He has been the mainstay. He's the spokesman for God, has been for many years. The Bible tells us that his mother offered little Samuel after she weaned him, 3 years old. She took him to the house of the Lord, and there he stood, there he grew up from childhood. Now he's an old man. And we are told that his children, his sons, were wicked and crooked. So because his sons were crooked, they were not like the father, the people begin to complain. And then looking at the enemies, meaning the Philistines and the Ammonites and otherites, they were against him. The Bible says that the people got together and they gathered Samuel. And they requested that they do not want to be under God's government anymore, called a theocracy. Ruled by God, governed by God. The people said, we don't want to be ruled by God anymore. We want to be ruled by a monarchy. We want a king like everybody else. In other words, what they were saying, we don't trust God. We belong to God, but he's not tangible. And we prefer to have someone that we can see, someone we can touch, someone that can represent us. We want to be like the other nations. Well, Samuel took it personally. It was a personal affront. They thought, we don't want you. You're rejected. And so he was very angry. So he went up to the Lord, and the Lord had to comfort him three times. Samuel, the people are not rejecting you, says the Lord, but they're rejecting me, says God. God says, they're not rejecting you. You're representing me, but they're not rejecting you. Samuel, they're rejecting me, says the Lord. If that's what they want, I can see God doing this. Is that what they want? You know what? That's what you get. And we spoke about God's will and God's permissive will. What does that mean? It means there's God's perfect will, and there's a will that we, as his children, just like your children, you tell your children, no, don't do that. Why? Because I've done that. Well, no, I think this is right, Mom. I think this is right, Dad. And as you know, everyone does that. I did that to my mother. My mom will say, no, mijo, don't do that because I'm not. Ah, Mom, you don't know. You're a TJ. You're from here. You're a paisa. You don't know what you're talking about. And that little paisa was right. And I'll come back. I'll go, Mom, you're right. I meant so. I told you. Of course. And so, but we all are like children. We rebel. Well, as adults, we also get a little tired. We get a little confused with the next step. We want to just, Lord, how long? Why? And so we take the reins from God. We take the wheel from Jesus. And then we decide that we're going to take over. And thus, we insert our own will. We believe, somehow convinced by the flesh, convinced by evidence, things that we see. But there are things that we cannot see, like the future. And though we do things, we take the wrong door, we make our own decision. And even though it's the wrong decision, even though it's considered wickedness, when we go outside the will of God, we're going to pay the retribution for it. It's going to be horrible. When you take the wrong road, when you pick the wrong door, when you make the wrong decision and never consulting for God, you're going to pay the consequences. But you'll see here in a moment in chapter 12 that even though we make mistakes, God still loves us. That God still picks you up. That God still restores you. We acknowledge we messed up. Now, I don't know about you, but I messed up several times as a Christian. Maybe not you, but for sure, the person to your left and to your right, for sure. The person to your left, to your right, for sure. Not you, but the person to your left or to your right, they messed up. Not once, not twice, 10, 20 times. And look, we're still here. The grace of God. It doesn't mean we take advantage of the grace of God. What we see here is the mercy of God, the kindness of God, the love of God, that no matter how messed up we may come, the salvation, the grace, the restoration of God, he's willing to pick you up. You'll see that they made a great mistake by calling upon a king instead of calling upon God to help. And so there's a search. And they find that God finds a man by the name of Saul. He was not looking for that position. The Bible says that the Lord picked him because he was handsome. Two times the Bible says that God said that this man Saul was handsome. And I share with First Service people that when I go to heaven, I don't like to talk to Saul. I just want to see if God is right. What is God's version of handsome? That's what I want to see. Now, if he looks like me, and I agree that God was right all along. I'm just saying. Don't hate. And so, in a private inauguration, the Lord tells Samuel, that's him. So he goes and gets Saul. He anoints him with oil, a ram's horn full of oil. And he's anointed. It's called Mashiach, where we get our English word, Messiah, the anointed one. So he anoints the new king. But nothing happens. The Bible says that Saul goes back to Gibeah, his own town, and he goes back to farming. That's what he does. So when we come to chapter 11, in chapter 11, one of the enemies of Israel, one dude by the name of Nahash, he goes and harasses a city, a Jewish city, by the name of Jabesh Gilead. And he is a thug. He says, listen, I can mess you all up right now. He says, but let's make a deal. Let's do something. Let's, instead of me killing you, destroying your houses and everything, let's make a deal. And the people of the Israeli town says, well, what should we do? And he says, well, if you want to just give up, you want to become my servants, let me take your right eye off. Let me gouge your right eye. Go, no, wait 7 days, it will give you an answer. And they were overwhelmed. So the Bible says they went to Gibeah, they went up, and there they told his countrymen, they're messing with us. And there was a lot of wailing, a lot of crying. And the Bible says that when the new king was farming, he was with his ox, when he said, what's the commotion about? What's up? What's going on? He says, oh, they want to kill us. They want to take our right eye out. And the Bible says there in chapter 11, verse 6, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul when he heard this news. The Spirit of God came upon him. This is the second time where the Spirit of God comes upon him. The first time when he was consecrated as a king, the Holy Spirit came. And the Bible tells us that when that happened, he became a new person. He became a new man with a different mind because the Spirit of the living God came upon him. But there was no manifestation of that yet. So as he went back farming, he hears this news, and the Holy Spirit comes again upon him. And what he does spontaneously. He gets the oxen that he's using for work, and he begins to slaughter them in pieces, and he gets all kinds of little pieces, and he sends them all over Israel with a threat. If you do not show up and fight, this is what's going to happen to your own oxen. So they go, aye. So 330,000 people responded. But it was also a divine movement because we are told at the end of verse 7, and the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. When he numbered them in the city of Bezek, the children of Israel were 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. That has never happened before. See, the people are agrarian people. They're agriculture people. They're not fighters. They're not thugs. But for the first time, man, after King David, for the first time, they gathered together. And in a tactical way, he goes and attacks Nahash, the Ammonite. He goes to his city. He doesn't come to their city. The Bible says that they walk by night almost 30, 40 miles by night. All 330,000. When he got to the place, here's the Spirit of God coming upon the man. He becomes so tactful, military strategist. He sends 110,000 here, 110,000 to the middle, 110,000. That's three divisions. And they slaughtered the living daylight out of Nahash. And then there was a victory lap, and there they're rejoicing. At one point, you see, we are told in chapter 10, verse 27, there were some rebels that were saying, how can this man save us? So they despised the new king, and they brought him no presents, but he, Saul, held his peace. You see, not everybody was in agreement that they had a new king. The Bible says that when he became a king, and Samuel introduced him to Israel, yes, introduced him, not a public inauguration yet, not a public coronation yet, but he says, here's the king. And the people were saying, long live the king, long live the king. But there were some thugs that went.
Thank you for listening to Get Fed Today. Today's sermon comes from Pastor Pancho Juarez. If you enjoy the message, you can access more of Pastor Pancho's teaching ministry by visiting thearcmontebello.com.